America is the most advanced nation on earth, yet my guest today says people in 89% of cities can't safely drink tap water. Houston Tomas says, quote, tap water in D.C. schools is more brain damaging than crack cocaine, end quote. Houston Tomas is an environmental educator, an expert in water purification technology, and an outspoken critic of the government's water quality protection policies. A little bit later on in the show today, Houston and I will talk about specifically Lincoln's water. I provided Houston with a copy of the 2009 Annual Drinking Water Quality Report, and Houston has that, and we'll talk specifically about that a little bit later on in the show. Houston, thank you very much for talking about something that we all need and take for granted.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm very passionate about water quality, and by the time we're done talking, hopefully some of your listeners will be as well.
What's your definition of safe tap water?
For you to have truly safe water, the first and most important thing to do is to remove the disinfectant, whether that's chlorine or, in Lincoln's case, chloramines. We add those to the water for the purpose of killing bacteria and virus. And anything that'll kill bacteria and virus will also kill some portion of you. So after removing the disinfection component, it's also crucially important that you ensure that your water is free of lead and free of synthetic organic compounds, which we use thousands and thousands of in this country. And Ralph Nader's research group has found 2,100 of which cause cancer in our water supplies. And the problem with these synthetic chemicals that are so pervasive in our environment is that they're human created. Our bodies haven't had an opportunity to evolve a defense system against them. And the majority of these synthetic chemicals mimic estrogen, which make them even more cancerous in the human body. So take out the disinfection byproducts, remove the heavy metals that damage the nervous system, and take out the synthetic chemicals for which our bodies have no clue how to handle.
So if you do all that and you just drink the water the way it comes out of the ground, wouldn't that be worse?
No, by all means. I mean, first off, drilling holes in the ground in this country and pulling up clean water, that's a rarity nowadays. By the time we put our 250 million tons of atrazine on the dirt every year, a lot of that makes it into our aquifers. But in my opinion, the healthiest water that you can consume is water that contains minerals, calcium, magnesium, iron, potassium, and has an alkaline pH. Obviously, if you have an acidic pH, you have the possibility of free radicals existing in your body. So we want to keep alkaline water, which your well water is typically going to be extremely alkaline, and you want to ensure that there's no pathogens in it, no cholera or typhoid or dysentery, and you want to ensure that there's no synthetic chemicals in it. And it seems like that's an awful lot to take out of your water, and it should. Most people are under the misconception that after they read that water quality report that they have safe water because everything is below the EPA action levels. Well, I beg to differ with you. You can't tell me that drinking a glass of water, like in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that had 9 different pesticides, all at safe levels according to the EPA. You can't tell Houston Tomas that drinking a glass of water with 9 different pesticides in it is okay because the amounts of those chemicals are so low.
I grew up in the era of fluoride in water because it made teeth stronger. That same fluoride tap water is now streaking and pitting kids' teeth. What's the difference between then and now?
Well, the knowledge. I mean, 40% of today's adolescents in the United States have a condition called fluorosis, which on the low end of the scale, that's just staining and pitting of the teeth. At the high end of the scale, you start to see bone damage and joint and cartilage damage from such high levels of fluoride. And certainly there is a component to longevity that includes dental health. Every study has always shown if you've got a full mouth of teeth at 80, you're more likely to make it to 81 than somebody that doesn't have a full mouth of teeth. So at some point, though, we began over-medicating ourselves. The EPA just recently reduced the recommended level of fluoride from 0.7 to 1.2 parts per million down to a flat 0.7 parts per million. That number is meaningless to most of your listeners. But what it tells you is that for the last 100 years, EPA has recommended double what it now considers a safe level of fluoride in your water. fluoride, it's a controlled substance. You need a prescription to go down to the store and get yourself some, unless you're buying it from the pesticide aisle in Home Depot. But we have mass medicated this society for so long, it's accepted. In Europe, they don't fluoridate their water, they fluoridate their salt. And in Europe, you find better dental health in most of the European Union countries than you do in the United States. Additionally, in the United States, if you look to empirical evidence, the best dental health in our union is in Utah. They also have the lowest number of counties fluoridating their water. The worst dental health in our country is in West Virginia. They have the highest percentage of counties fluoridating their water. Now, I'm sure there's some socioeconomic differences between those two states, but if you look at that, that's certainly something to consider, and that's possibly why EPA lowered their recommendation. And for your listeners' benefit, Lincoln, Nebraska is typically at about one part per million, which I think is too high for your fluoride levels. In my opinion, we get enough fluoride from the meat we eat and just walking around every day that we don't really need to supplement our water with it. 100 years ago, you didn't have fluoride toothpaste, so fluoride in the water made sense. Today, your toothpaste has so much fluoride in it, it tells you not to let two-year-olds brush with it because they'll swallow it. It tells you not to swallow it because it is a poison. I mean, you can use it to kill moles. That's what Home Depot sells it for. So that's something that we're adding to our water. In Nebraska, or in Lincoln, excuse me, you guys are adding not only chlorine, you're also adding ammonia to the water. So you've got chlorine, ammonia, and fluoride, all of which are killers. They kill bacteria, they kill virus, they kill a little part of you. And so those are just the things that we purposefully add to the water. Then you take into account all the other things in the water, and you start to realize that your poor little body, your kidneys and your liver are working overtime to clean that water so that your body can use that water to clean itself. Pretty much every process that happens in your body utilizes water, energy production, detoxification, weight loss. Your body doesn't process those calories out without enough pure, clean water. And so what we've done as a society is we've pushed ourselves to a constant state of dehydration. 70% of Americans are always dehydrated. And the water that we are drinking isn't good enough for us. It has those synthetic chemicals in it, so that even if we are drinking an adequate supply of water, you're taxing your body by making it remove all those chemicals that it's never seen before. The stuff that we use to clean our laundry, the stuff that we use to kill plants, the stuff that we use to kill insects, the stuff that we use to get that black tar off of our tires, that green foam, when you spray it off your tire, it goes into the drinking water supply. It doesn't just disappear. Every single chemical we use in this society at some point is going to make it into our water. And when we study these chemicals and what they do to the human body, we always study them by themselves. We don't ever study what atrazine and benzene do together. We just study what atrazine does. And so when you look at your water quality report and it has those 13 or 50 different chemicals, depending on how much your water treatment plant shows you, you start to realize that, hey, at this level, this chemical causes cancer. At this level, this chemical causes cancer. Well, we're below both of those levels, so it's no big deal, right? Well, no, it's not necessarily true. According to the Environmental Working Group, these chemicals in the water, when they get into the human body, they don't add up 1 plus 1 equals 2. Some of them add up 1 plus 1 equals 1,000. And so when you all of a sudden you go to 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, you're in the millions for the amount of health effects that you're running into compared to what was actually studied. And that's just something I want people to take into account and why I think we really have a problem today. I mean, back in 1900, 1 in 50 of us Americans could expect to get cancer. Today it's 1 in 3. And the canary in the mind is us. We've obviously got a problem. I'm not saying that our water is 100% of it. There's a lot of stuff that we've done over the last 100 years that has changed our environment. But we're 72% water, and to me it just makes sense that if you're putting bad water into a water machine, you're going to end up with a machine that's breaking down, and that's what we're seeing.
Pretty sure Houston Tomas has your attention now, folks. Houston is an expert, an environmental educator, expert in water purification technology, critic of the government's water quality protection policies. Talk about, by the way, we're going to break down Lincoln's water here a little bit later on in the show. Houston has a copy of the 2009 Annual Drinking Water Quality Report from Lincoln. Talk about some cities, how some are reacting to high levels of hazardous chemicals in public water.
Most of them lie about it. And I know that's a strong word. My wife tells me not to use the word lie. But I don't know what it is. When you take a test result that says you've got 3,500 parts per billion of lead in Washington, D.C. tap water at a high school, and you throw that test out and go test a house that has 14 parts per billion so that you're legal. So the big problem that we have with ensuring our water quality, which Carol Browning, when she was the EPA, said that the way we ensure safe water in this country is broken and needs to be fixed. Well, the reason she said that is we have 120,000 different water treatment plants across this country. It's a self-policed industry. They're required to test the water and tell on themselves when they fail. And what happens when a city fails for something like lead, which happened in Washington, D.C., it's also happened in New York City, it's happened in Portland, it's happened in Seattle, it's happened in Philadelphia, where records were falsified in order to give a lower test result. If Washington, D.C., back in 2003, had started reporting the failures in their system, they wouldn't have gone 8 years before making an adjustment to the problem. And what they had was high levels of lead that were caused by them switching from chlorine to chloramines, which Lincoln, Nebraska has done. And the chloramines are a lot more acidic. They dissolved the mineral deposits off the pipes that had been laid down 100 years ago. Most of them were lead service lines. And then the chloramines make the water more aggressive, and they were leaching lead into the water. I know we're kind of getting off a tangent here, but the main thrust of this is that Washington, D.C. knew it had a problem with lead, and for years it falsified the test results because it didn't want to have to send out postcards. That's expensive, and even more expensive, it didn't want to go start digging up streets to replace service lines. That's why Washington, D.C. and all those other cities I mentioned earlier falsified those records. It's a money game. I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy that that person down at the local water quality department wants to kill you or your family. That's not the case at all. It's just a financial issue. When you look at the amount of money it requires to replace a foot of pipe underneath the subway, it makes sense that they'd want to put that off as long as they can. And I don't know if people's bonuses are based on how much money the water department has at the end of the year, but that said, there's not enough money to go replace all the pipes underneath Washington, D.C. We can't replace every lead pipe in the country. It's just too expensive. We can't provide water that's free of synthetic chemicals to every household. You just can't do it. If you look at Lincoln, Nebraska, your citizens there use an average of 128 gallons of water per day each, and you're going to drink 1 gallon of that. It doesn't make sense for Lincoln, Nebraska to treat that to a chemical-free, lead-free level and send it to your house knowing that less than 1% of it is actually going to be consumed by a human being. So the way we treat water in this country, but by all means, Houston says it's not safe. Understand, you're not going to get cholera or typhoid or dysentery and die in 2 weeks from drinking tap water in America. The last time we had a pathogenic outbreak of a waterborne disease was a cryptosporidium outbreak in Wisconsin that sickened 100,000 people. It killed a couple hundred. That was about 15, 20 years ago. So by and large, you can make the statement that American tap water is far better than it is in Africa or India or even China, where you can die from drinking a single glass of water. But we have the problem that, hey, I want to live to be 100 years old. I sure hope my mom does too. And as a society, we're getting there. And the older we get, the more we start to look back on our lives and say, wow, my back hurts because of what I did as a child. Well, at some point, we look back and we say, my lungs have cancer because of the way I lived my life. And what I want to do is let everybody know that you don't have to resign yourself to that. There are very economical solutions that allow you to treat your water at home to a very high level that the city can't afford to provide you.
Houston, what about the water that I shower with and bathe with and the washing machines and the dishwashers? If I'm drinking so little, am I being harmed by washing clothes and washing myself?
According to Rutgers University, 70% of your exposure to tap water contamination happens in the shower. That hot water opens up the pores in your skin, and we know our skin absorbs things. We have birth control patches, weight loss patches, nicotine patches. Well, as that hot water opens up your pores, it causes you to absorb those chemicals more quickly. And additionally, all of those volatile and synthetic organic compounds in the tap water have a tendency to vaporize into a gas, and you inhale them. Radon, for instance, which you guys have a very high level of in your Lincoln tap water, is 100 times more cancerous when you inhale it than it is when you drink it. Radon causes 21,000 lung cancer deaths in this country every year and may only cause 1,000 stomach cancer deaths. So, yeah, absolutely. Your shower is, in my opinion, more important for you to treat than your drinking water because you're inhaling and absorbing those chemicals. In fact, in a 7-minute shower, the same study that Rutgers did, in a 7-minute shower, you're going to inhale and absorb through your skin more chlorine than you get from drinking a gallon of that same water. So, yeah, absolutely. The water you shower in, you can't take for granted. You know how you feel when you get out of a swimming pool? That chlorine dries your skin and your hair out. Well, what most people don't realize is that in a swimming pool, you're typically at 1 to 1.5 parts per million of chlorine. And our tap water, particularly during the summer months when the algae blooms, may be anywhere from 4 to 8 parts per million. 5 to 6 times what's safe for you to swim in, we consider safe for you to shower in and for you to drink and prepare your foods with.
We'll talk about home filtration systems and look in detail at Lincoln's water when we continue on Lincoln Live with Houston Tomasz, an expert on water purification technology and environmental educator on Lincoln Live. Stay with us. More coming up. We're breaking down Lincoln's water on Lincoln Live today. Houston Tomasz, the expert. Houston is an expert on water purification technology, a critic of the government's water quality protection policies, an environmental educator. You have a copy, Houston, of the 2009 Annual Drinking Water Quality Report from Lincoln. How does Lincoln's water look to you?
Well, as far as water quality reports go, everyone's required to get one from their municipality if they serve more than 2,000 people. This one's not bad. I've seen far worse. Now, there are plenty of chemicals and substances in Lincoln tap water that give me pause. But what I really want to break down is how you actually read one of these. If you look at the first page of this drinking water quality report from the Lincoln Water System, it starts off with our goal. And this is a quote: "The quality of water produced and distributed shall meet or exceed all state and federal standards governing such distribution." There's not a single statement of health or safety in there. All they want to do is what the law requires them to do. That's their goal, and that's a good goal. I mean, certainly we don't want you guys having levels of trial methane that are proven to cause breast cancer. So we've set down that Nebraska's goal is to meet or exceed the standards, not to provide you with safe water. And again, the legal component requires them to test their water themselves. Lincoln, Nebraska tests its water about 200 times a month to look for these different contaminants so that if you have a bacteria outbreak, they find it very quickly and they tell you to boil the water. So that said, we do have that assurance. And again, if you missed the first part of this, I don't want people getting off of or getting out of their car and thinking that Houston said you're going to die if you drink the tap water. It's going to reduce the longevity of your life, but you're not going to get cholera, typhoid, or dysentery. I think the biggest problem that I see in Lincoln's tap water is the level of radon. Again, 21,000 people a year in this country die from radon causing lung cancer. And according to the Nebraska Health and Human Services, you guys are significantly higher than the national average for lung cancer deaths in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Houston, I'm looking at this chart. Is radon radium?
No. If you go down,
where is radon?
Additional contaminants on the second page.
Additional contaminants. All right.
You'll see radon was one of the ones that was tested.
I see. All right. There it is. Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, I just want to point that one out because there is a known health problem in Lincoln, Nebraska. There's just no question about it that you guys do have that problem. I mean, when your own Health and Human Services says that you are significantly higher than the national average for cancer deaths, for lung cancer deaths, you guys know that you have a problem. And I'm going to posit that the reason Lincoln is significantly higher than the national average is because you're significantly higher than the national average in radon. And that radon is getting into your indoor air by either evaporating out of the soil into your basement or through your foundation into your house. But more importantly, because you have such high levels in your water, every time you flush the toilet, every time you run the shower, that steam that's coming out of the dishwasher, it's all allowing radon gas to percolate into your air, and then you inhale it all day long while you're in the house. That's why it is such a big problem. But additional to the radon, you guys also have a fairly high level of arsenic. The legal limit, and mind you, we know what the legal limit means. That's where the EPA said, we can afford to do this nationwide. The legal limit for arsenic is 10 parts per billion. You guys have 7.5. You are 75% of the legal limit. And when we talk about EPA legal limits, the legal limit for lead is 15 parts per billion. The threshold for known health effects in a healthy 180-pound adult male is half a part per billion. So the legal limit is set at 30 times where we know the health effects begin. And that's for adults, not for kids. Kids are not little adults. They have smaller kidneys, they have smaller livers, and they drink more water per pound of body weight than us adults do, and they're not developed yet. And the problem with things like lead is the damage that it causes is permanent. When it gets into the brain, when it gets into the nervous system, the damage that it does can't be fixed. And it does cause learning disabilities. And it, believe it or not, leads to crime. If you go to our prisons, our prison population in this country has higher blood lead levels than the rest of the population. If you want to see the best thing we ever did for violent crime in this country, all you need to do is look at those tables that show when we got off of leaded gasoline.
How does Lincoln's water look for lead?
At four parts per billion, Lincoln water has 8 times the known health effects for lead. And if you've got small children, it's crucial that you make sure that they're not getting lead while their brain is developing.
And fluoride? We have too much fluoride?
Fluoride, you guys have a naturally occurring level of 0.4 parts per million, and your water treatment plant raises it to 1. So again, and I think that's high. I think at 0.4 parts per million, you guys are getting all the benefit that fluoride has to offer.
All right. What about the disinfection?
I think that chloramines are a terrible idea. The reason we use them is because if you use chlorine, when chlorine comes in contact with organic matter, it creates trihalomethanes, haloacetic acids. It's a very cancerous family of chemicals. There are hundreds of thousands of different trihalomethanes that can be created when chlorine comes in contact with organic matter, and the legal limit is 80 parts per billion. As cities start to approach that legal limit in order to be compliant with EPA, one of the things they do is they switch to chloramines. And what chloramines is still using chlorine, but now you add ammonia to it because the ammonia bonds to the chlorine so that you don't get that disinfection byproduct. The problem with that is you have to use more chlorine. So not only are we adding X amount of chlorine, now we're adding X plus 1. We're also adding ammonia. And I don't know about you, but since I was a little kid and I took my chemistry classes all the way back in high school, I've known that you don't add bleach to ammonia products. Every bleach product you have in your household says do not mix with an ammonia product. Every bottle of ammonia you've ever bought says do not mix with bleach products because the chemicals that are created are extremely toxic. Chloramines are not the only substance that are created when you add ammonia to chlorine. You also get dichloramine and trichloramine, which are very similar to phosgene and mustard gas, which we used to kill the Germans in World War I. So chloramines, while the intent is to lower the level of trihalomethanes, it's an abomination. It hasn't been studied, and in places like San Francisco, when municipalities switch to chloramines, you see extreme increase in incidence of respiratory and skin problems.
Houston, I need to interrupt you here in order to have you give us your expertise on home filtration systems. First, start on a small scale, the filtration for a refrigerator, and then whole house systems.
The main thing to look for in a water filter is certified performance data. That way you know what you're buying. Don't trust the salesman's word that this is what the filter will take out. Look for the sheet. That they're proud of them. They cost about $100,000 for a drinking water system. And the most important home filter you can own, if you're not going to buy a whole house filter, is a shower filter. Again, that's 70% of your exposure to tap water contamination. And what I want you to look for is something that has a high performance. That performance data sheet shows that it's taking a lot of things out of the water, and a low cost per gallon. You look at those pour-through pitchers that you can buy at Walmart. Those are typically $20 to $25. They're certified to take out 4 to 10 different chemicals, depending on which one you buy. They cost about 30 cents a gallon. Bottled water can be $8 a gallon. Tap water is 0.001 cent a gallon. So there are a lot of different water filters in the range of 5 cents to 50 cents a gallon that they'll produce the water for you. So you just need to look at, what am I paying per gallon? What am I paying for the initial system, and what is the system actually doing? Those pour-through pitchers, even though they're the cheapest to buy, are typically the most expensive to use. You should be able to get a good home water system that'll produce your water for you for under 10 cents a gallon. And when it comes to shower filters, particularly with Lincoln having chloramines in their water, you guys need something a little bit more specific than the generic filter. Most shower filters use what's called KDF. It's a copper zinc mineral alloy that removes chlorine through a reduction oxidation process. That doesn't work if you have chloramines in your water. Your listeners need a filter that has a high grade of activated carbon. That's the only way to break the bond between the chlorine and the ammonia. And preferably even a catalytically activated carbon, which we do offer. You can check us out at tapwaterstudy.com. We're also more than happy to go over these water quality reports with you and let you know what each one of these chemicals do in your water. We didn't even get to atrazine, which turns little boy frogs into little girl frogs, which you guys have in your water. And what I really want your listeners to get out of this is that they need to go educate themselves and go take care of themselves.
Houston, if you came to Lincoln, would you drink the water?
I would run it through a filter, and I sure would.
All right. What's that website again, Houston?
Tapwaterstudy.com, and there's an 800 number on there. If your listeners want to call and talk to me, they're welcome to do so. Otherwise, they can email in their questions, or they can look at a great line of products that will address the radon in your water. It'll address the lead in your water. It'll address the atrazine that you guys have, and it'll give you water that you can be confident in knowing that you're not exposing yourself as one of those higher than average incidents of lung cancer in Lincoln, Nebraska. Not to mention all the herbicides and pesticides that your rural neighbors are sharing with you guys in your water.
Tapwaterstudy.com, all one word. Houston, thank you very much. Excellent information. Houston Tomasz joining me on Lincoln Live.
Thanks for having me, Dale.